Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best in Nintendo podcast on the internet. You guys, last episode got a bit contentious.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it did. I edited it.
Contentious?
And of course, we were at each other a little bit.
With regards to what?
Oh, just...
We're all friends here.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Start off this show with, I love you guys. You guys are great. If Nintendo call me, and they won't, because we say cunt on this podcast from time to time. But if they called me...
And it's the Australian way, as if to say, good dear friend.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I'm confused. So you're saying you love us if Nintendo calls you, but they don't call you, you don't love us?
I'm getting there. Oh, okay. So if they were to call me and be like, we want you to do a podcast for us, and we're going to give you money, but you got to get rid of those two jokers. No. Yeah. No deal. I wouldn't do it.
Aww. See, heart of gold. It really makes me feel bad, because whenever you leave the room, they just make fun of you.
I know, I have it on tape.
Yeah, I do that in an instant.
Later, nerds!
Just kind of dip out the room.
What did we argue? I don't even remember what we argued about.
Oh, it was, while I was editing, there were a couple of times where we were just, like, taking shots at each other, and you guys being a couple of corporate shills about the $70 Zelda price tag, but that's it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we were making,
saying about some, like government organization.
Right. You're the one pandering Illuminati conspiracy theories now.
I mean, it's absolutely a conspiracy theory, but I think it's real. All conspiracies are real. This is the retro show.
Sure is.
So what we're going to do is we're going to peek back in time. We're going to travel all the way back to February of 2002. And you guys, what a time to be alive.
Oh, sure was.
He's got to get that tattooed on him somewhere. Like, where do you think he's going to put it?
I'll tell you.
What a time
does.
To be alive. Like, right above his dick.
Right on Wes.
If he loved you the way he loves me, you'd know where it was.
So, I'm a brotherly love, not a...
romantic?
Yeah.
Raw sexual energy?
Yeah, that's not more
a,
like it. That's
not a Greg like. Kinnear, Cuba Gooding Jr. as good as it gets kind of love.
Let's say, what we're going to do, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We got a ton of games to get through, as well as some music and some movies. But we always start with some historical context, kind of put this thing in context with things, contemporary events. And Ryan, you got some stuff for us.
Yeah, I actually got three key events. Do you have anything to mention in terms of, like, historical stuff?
Let's go through yours first, because we might just end up touching on the same things.
Okay, this one's not a huge event, but I just saw this happen, and I remember it being a bit of a thing. But Rosie O'Donnell came out as gay.
Okay.
This happened when she was doing stand-up, and it was spontaneous. It wasn't like she had planned to do it. I mean, I'm sure she was aware that she was gay well beforehand, so...
But she didn't discover something about herself right then.
It wasn't right then in the middle of a bit that, yeah, she learned that she was gay. No, but I think
just
it's just...
pause on the stage. Oh, my God.
Just, like, holding the microphone, like, yeah. Vulvas.
But, yeah, I mean, we now live in a world where, you know, things like homosexuality, gender fluidity, it's all art. Like, artists get... seem to not be subject to the prejudices that they were probably 20 years ago. Mm. Probably was a really big deal. The same way when Ellen came out, I think maybe 3 or 4 years prior to this, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now it's a bit more accepted. But yeah, so that was just a thing.
But
that
yeah, in order for it to get accepted, people had to do it first.
Yeah, this remains a big shake-up event for whatever reason. People kept bringing this up. Other events, this was also when the Winter Olympics happened in Salt Lake City. So I really did not look into it that much other than to say that it was happening. I just noticed there was tons of different things. Not that we're going to talk about it, but I've been rewatching this season of The Simpsons that occurred during 2002 as well. There were multiple references to the Olympics, so it was a big deal for them, and I think the Simpsons represent everything, so.
And probably the city of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
We know it's a big deal with Simpsons bringing it up.
It's true.
Dare to guess who took the most medals?
In the Winter Olympics?
Yes, the top three. I'll tell you, that's gold medals, not total medals, but gold medals.
I can name a person.
I'm going to guess United States is in the top three.
Makes the top three, yes.
Canada?
No.
No, not Canada. How about...
Russia.
Russia does not.
China?
No.
One last guess. So any one of the Scandinavian countries.
New Zealand.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That was wild, but yeah, New Zealand.
Shut the fuck up.
Seriously? No, of course not. No.
She's doing cross-country skiing.
Norway took 13 gold medals. Germany, 12. USA, 10.
Hmm.
So those are your big hits, your big winners from... the Olympics that happened. And last thing is Super Bowl 36 occurs. This is probably the biggest thing.
That was the Patriots and Rams.
It was, in fact, a game that ended 2017, but the Patriots winning. The
fourth
Rams,
quarter drive to win?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just led to a field goal. The Rams were heavily favored to win. They were known as the greatest show on turf, and the Patriots were just the Patriots with a backup quarterback.
Well, you know, the defending champs, Patriots.
They hadn't won the year prior, did they?
I think they won in 2001. Oh, wait, no, you're right.
Yeah, I want to say, did it Tampa? Is it Tampa that won the year prior?
I don't know. I always get, with football, it gets, basketball as well, I get confused because the season starts in 2001, but then ends in 2002. It ends in the next year.
We'll have to look that up and see who won.
Whereas baseball does it the right way. We're just like, no. You just play through the calendar year, and then you have the World Series at the end.
That is convenient. That is convenient that it like starts in, April, and then it ends in October. Mm-hmm. So,
speaking of Super Bowl, do you have any thoughts or things you want to say about this year's Super Bowl?
Oh, Kansas City won. They beat the Eagles. I watched the game. It was good. It was really good. They're two really good teams. I like them both. I would have preferred to see the Eagles win because they hadn't won. At least that combination of players hadn't won, and the Chiefs have... had just won a couple years prior, but good for them. Yeah, Andy Reid is an amazing coach. Travis Kelce, amazing tight end. Juju Smith-Schuster, surprising. Came with a couple of big plays for them.
What's his name again?
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Amazing.
Dear, what?
Yeah, no. He played
That's
for...
a Dio Field Chronicle level name.
That is
S tier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and people don't really give Walter Kinn Kredetich enough credit for being a really good fullback. So Walter Quinn was there.
I mean, he's a dying position.
No. So that was cool. And I think that we'll see more out of the Eagles because they're just that good. I don't think this is their only time. Yeah, really, really fun. And Tom Brady, of course, retired. So that was probably the other big hit.
I didn't even know you were tired.
Yeah.
So, and that's crazy because he is the winner of this Super Bowl that we're talking about in 2002 as mm-hmm. well. Someone brought up, the receiver for the Detroit Lions, Megatron. I can't think of his actual name. But there's an amazing receiver they have on the team. Like, he was in high school still when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl. And in the same year that Tom Brady won his last Super Bowl, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Shit.
So, Calvin Johnson. So, Calvin Johnson, who is regarded as one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, literally went to college, got drafted, had a Hall of Fame career, waited 5 years, because you have to wait 5 years after you formally retire to be inducted, then was inducted into the Hall of Fame in the span in which Tom Brady won his seventh Super Bowl.
That's nuts.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Truly unbelievable. In the past 20 years, he's been in half of the Super Bowls. He has more Super Bowl wins than any franchise in the NFL has Super Bowl wins. He has every career statistic.
But couldn't do it this year.
Sadly, no. No, this was the year that did him in, 8-9, and lost to the Cowboys.
Yikes. This was the year that guy was finally right. That journalist who, like, every year was like, nah, he's washed up. He's got nothing left in the tank.
Well, he says it every year. Eventually, he's going to
right, on a long enough timeline. As long as he is still alive to say it, he will be right.
But anyway, let's finish up the thoughts on the Super Bowl. So this is a Rams team that had Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, and Isaac Bruce. Just a really, really good team. It's interesting. Warner actually threw for more than twice as many yards. He threw for 360 yards, but he threw two interceptions. Tom Brady had...
That's when you throw to the other team, Wes.
Thank you.
That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, they had no turnovers at all. And I think probably the biggest play was that a cornerback for the Patriots, Ty Law, who's amazing, got a pick six in the game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and it's actually kind of... I mean, to talk about the Super Bowl that just happened, I think that, to me, was the big play, was that... Hurts fumbled the ball and it was run back for a touchdown. So if the Eagles just simply didn't give them that 7 points, they would have won the game. Same deal here. If Kurt Warner just simply hadn't thrown that pick, it's a totally different game. And keep in mind, the score was 17-10 with like 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And they drove down the field and scored a touchdown and tied the game. It was just that Tom Brady was able to move the ball down the field enough to get them in field goal range and then kick a walk-off field goal, and that's that. That's history. So, good game. Hey, this is at the time, I'm sure no one really realized what they were looking at, but they were kind of watching the kickstarting of the greatest NFL career ever.
Yeah, he was the backup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever replace Drew Bledsoe?
That's that.
Cool. Any other historical events or?
That's it. That's all I had.
Cool.
Oh, no, one more. Right. I don't. This is. I feel like I'll end up talking an hour about this, so I just want to make one quick comment. That in Tacoma, Washington, a 21-year-old named Kenya Nicole Cook was shot and killed. And murders happen all the time. It's true, but this is the first death in what will be a 8-month run of events that we called that was the lead up to the DC sniper incident, and of course Washington DC. So again, Tacoma, Washington, like 3,200 miles away, the other Washington is where the first murder occurs, and literally pretty much every single month, but once we will be talking about this until we get to September and October when this whole thing boils over. So,
Chet,
little pin right there with that. We'll talk more about it later.
Well, on that that note of murder, let's move over to video games. We got a bunch.
I know,
right? So before we get into the new ones, I do need to. Or we need to. Address our rankings of GameCube games, because we now 10 GameCube games that we've talked about that we can put into a top 10 list. I do have it in the Google Docs file if you guys want to take a look. So we need to like shuffle these around in some way or another. I have them arranged one through 10 how I would put them, but of course, you know, this has to be a consensus thing, so we're going to agree on where these things should go. So far, number one game released on the GameCube up until February of 2002, Super Smash Bros. Melee. At number two, I have Star Wars Rogue Leader Rogue Squadron 2, followed by Pikmin, then Luigi's Mansion, Super Monkey Ball, Wave Race, SSX Tricky, Simpsons Road Rage, Tony Hawk 3, and then Cell Damage down at the bottom. So, open the floor. Is there anything you guys want to switch around? Anything you feel strongly about?
I think SSX Tricky should be higher.
Okay. Where do you want to put it?
Above
Super Monkey, right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good place. I wouldn't put it above Luigi's Mansion, but I would put it above Super Monkey Ball.
Works for me.
And what else we got? I mean, you know, I'm generally good with everything else. I mean, I don't want to nitpick a lot of these. Again, some of these are games I haven't even played, so yeah. I know that the Tony Hawk Pro Skater series is a ton of fun, and I like the first two, having never really played the third. Mm. Who am I to say?
I know, we can always shuffle things around as we go here if we have any changing opinions.
I'm surprised Rogue Leader is that high.
Rogue Squadron? Yeah.
Yeah, was it that good of a game? I didn't play that one.
I mostly based that on reviews, because it did review very well, as did Pikmin, but it seems to be, it's a bit more, people are a bit more nostalgic for that game than they are for Pikmin. Also sold better, and...
It's just generally a better game.
Allegedly. if you believe the hype.
How come you hate all of John's favorite things?
You really like Pikmin?
I do like Pikmin, yeah.
Oh.
He legitimately enjoys Pikmin.
Yeah. I think it just looks like a waste of time.
They're video games. They're all a waste of time. Hey, we are whiling away our finite hours before the grave playing these things.
Oh my god. All right.
And on that note of giving Wes some existential dread.
Hold me. I'm sad now.
Well, let's talk about some other GameCube games that came out in February of 2002. First up at the plate, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. This game was originally released on the Dreamcast in June of 2001 in North America. I think we briefly addressed it then, but then tabled it because it is, of course, now on the GameCube. This one was developed by Sonic Team and published by Sega, of course. This was the first game that Sega ever published on a Nintendo home console. Since they buried the Dreamcast, because they did that at the beginning of 2001, they announced that they were discontinuing that. It was directed by Takashi Iizuka. He was the game designer on Sonic 3, Sonic & Knuckles, Knights into Dreams, Sonic Adventure. Been with Sega a long time. And he's also the producer on most of the modern Sega games. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle was produced by a guy named Yuji Naka. And all I have in my notes is this fucking guy. Mm-hmm. The now twice arrested for insider trading, Yuji Naka. He was a big shot programmer and producer at Sega since the 80s, but not too much after Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, he will leave Sega and found his own company.
I like that he's a repeat offender on the insider trading thing.
Within like a few months. This is like recently. This fucking guy. So the Sonic Adventure 2 battle is structurally very similar to a Sonic Adventure. There are three different modes of gameplay. It does condense a little bit what they did in Sonic Adventure. In Sonic Adventure, you had like six or seven different playable characters. They had a slight, or sometimes very slight, differentiations on how they played, and sometimes the gameplay was very significantly different. In Sonic Adventure 2, the playable characters, you have Sonic, of course, and a lot of his levels are what you think of as typical 3D Sonic levels. You're kind of running downhill. You got a lot of forward momentum. You're going through like these really impressive looking bits of scenery and levels where, you know, he's doing loops and hitting springs and doing Sonic things, what you would typically expect of Sonic. In the original Sonic Adventure, Tails mode was very similar to that, except it was more of a time trial. It was a race. You had to beat Sonic to the end. Of course, it wasn't like a race, like he's going to be faster. He's always going to finish in a certain amount of time. So as long as you are faster than that time, you will win and beat that level. In this game, you can also play as Tails, but it's more of like a third-person action shooter. And that sort of gameplay was also in Sonic Adventure 1, but you played as this robot, where you played through like cross sections of Sonic levels, except, you know, you're roaming around in a robot suit. And when you're playing as Tails in Adventure 2, you're either like in a mech suit or in a plane, and you're going around shooting things. These levels are not particularly well-designed or fun. And then the third playable character in Adventure 2 is Knuckles, of course. And Knuckles levels work almost exactly the same as they did in Adventure 1, where you're in like this arena and you have to use this dowsing or homing skill to find pieces of gems that are just scattered throughout the level. In Adventure 1, they were always kind of in the same place, as far as I recall. In Adventure 2, it's randomized. Even if you like restart a level, it's not going to be in the same place you found it the first time. And again, these dowsing missions are not particularly fun because it can take a long time to get through, and you don't really get to utilize very much the skills that make using Knuckles fun. He can do things like glide or climb. A lot of times if you're trying to move vertically, you're blocked off by like lips of a cliff. If you're gliding, there's not really much opportunity to, outside of like one particular level, there's not much opportunity to use this to go over great distances. It's kind of a gimmick. When you finish the main story of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, you can like play the flip side. Each of the three playable characters has a nemesis. So Sonic, the inverse of his character, is Shadow the Hedgehog, and which I think this is his game where he made his first appearance. And then Tails, the inverse of his character, is Dr. Eggman or Robotnik, if you've been playing for a long time. And then Knuckles' nemesis is Rouge the Bat. And this weirdly sexualized bat lady. So when you finish the main campaign, you can actually start a second campaign, but you're playing as like the nemesis characters. And the gameplay modes are exactly the same. Shadow is running. Dr. Eggman is doing the shooter thing, and Rouge the Bat is doing the Knuckles level where she's gliding around. And then after that, there's like a third campaign, or like a bonus level where you play through a couple more levels. But by and large, the general consensus is the Sonic levels, the Shadow the Hedgehog levels, all quite good. But then when you get to the levels where you're shooting or gliding around, not very good, not very fun. So two-thirds of your game isn't particularly great, not a great sign. So this game is pretty widely available. It's been ported to a bunch of different systems. I actually did not look up how much the GameCube copy is going for. I don't think there's any real need to revisit this game.
So I haven't played the game.
Yeah.
So I really can't comment on that. But visually, this game is incredible.
This looks fucking incredible. Really good.
Especially those Sonic parts you're talking about. I was wowed that this is what they were doing.
They are
so fucking good. It looks like fucking neon white.
Mm.
It's really impressive.
They really, really should have stuck with that. They should have stuck with what was good gameplay and good design and just made more of that. But for some reason, they decided that they needed to mix in
I did check the reviews, by the way. You are editorializing a bit here. Most reviews are not that negative on it. Like, okay. This game actually reviewed pretty well.
Okay.
It seems like people at the time were pretty okay with it.
We don't care about reviews. We care about our reviews.
Also, the boss fights look genuinely fun. I mean, I watched a couple, like, there was, like, literally 3.5 hour playthrough. I probably watched about 1.5 hours of it, just kind of skipping through and seeing certain parts. Some of those actually looked like pretty cool boss fights. They were all unique in their own way. They had some ideas going on. It seems like the one big complaint, you didn't even mention it, but the one big complaint people seem to have is that, as with a lot of the 3D adventure games, is the camera is a little wonky. Oftentimes it'll send you in a direction where you can't really see where you're going. But yeah, this game looks so fucking slick. Oh, there's a racing game too in it? A little car racing game in it? That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's probably like, some Easter egg.
Or like a bonus level or something where...
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're like... things that you can, like, little collectibles in there that you can miss and have to replay. Which, you know, if it's a fun level, then cool. Good to replay those sorts of things. But
and I don't want to get into this whole heated thing about Luigi's Mansion not being the thing that should have launched this. But, wow, they could have probably sold a lot more units just on a commercial of those sequences of Sonic running through space. Hmm. Like, fucking running through, like, space stations and... just destroying downtown San Francisco. Like,
I think...
that is so flashy. It looks so good.
I think it's pretty well established that having Luigi's Mansion being your major first-party launch game was a mistake. I like Luigi's Mansion a lot. That is not the way you want to launch a console.
Oh, man. That just seems like a missed opportunity. And again, like, we were just talking about Metropolis, that anime feature last month, you know, and we were commenting on how great all of the animation looks, but how boring it is just, like, to watch the whole thing. And it's like, I went back and looked at Luigi's Mansion. I'm like, Luigi's Mansion doesn't look that good. And I looked at him like, okay, no, it looks pretty fucking great. But it's like a room. It's like a dirty old room.
Sure.
But it's loaded with detail. It's got all these cute little things everywhere. It's really nice. But this is so flashy. This is just such eye candy.
It's also like, you do have the advantage with a game like Luigi's Mansion or the Resident Evil remake that we'll get to another month. You do have the advantage when you're working in smaller spaces. You're not rendering as much in the same time. You're moving at slower speeds.
So you are right. And when Sonic is still, it very much is that, like, when you stop in a Forza game and you look around and it's, like, just a tree that's, like, two panels that flips back and forth. Or it's like, a guy with two hand motions.
It's a JPEG when you're moving by really fast. You're like, oh, whatever, look at that tree. I'm whizzing right by it. It looks fine. So... As long as one of the problems with some Sonic games, and we'll get to that in a little bit, is they're constantly, like, stopping you. Like, the fun part is having your momentum going forward, which it seems like Sonic Adventure 2 does really well when you're actually able to play as Sonic or Shadow. But when a Sonic game is, like, actively working against you doing the fun thing, it's bad.
Like, runs you straight into a bumper.
A pair of spikes.
In this game, yeah, they were pretty good about that. If they did stop you, if they did bring you to a sudden stop, there was usually, like, an immediate boost right out of it. You, like, get a stop, reorient yourself, and then boost. They hit you with another thing.
Those out of there. Yeah, Sonic Adventures is very much like that. And Sonic Adventure 1 as well. They really hit the nail on the head when it came to, like, what it was that was actually fun about this thing. Like, you could, like, make the argument that when Sonic is... levels are really well designed. You're not really doing much of anything except holding forward. And is it compelling gameplay design? I think there's an argument to be made that it is not, but it looks really good. And you can't argue that that's when the game is the most fun, is when you are just moving at really high speed and seeing all the cool stuff happening around you.
Yeah. Okay, and one last point. Rouge. Would we play a game if they just slapped a pair of tits on Mario?
I'd pay $70 for that.
Wouldn't that be a thing? Would they still have the mustache?
Of course.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to have the mustache.
Maybe there's like a mushroom that he eats.
No, that's just, it's so funny. Like, who is that servicing?
Right.
Who needed that?
There's
bat wings too.
Yeah, a couple of furries who like had an awakening there. Like they learned something about themselves that they hadn't realized before.
Yeah, they're on stage doing stand up, and they're like, "Oh my god!"
I remember them going through the cast, and I was looking at all the characters. I'm like, "This is fun. This is fun." And I was like, "What is this? Why are we doing this right now?"
Yeah, and it's weird because there was already like sort of the token girl Sonic character. It's Amy, and she's also in the game, but not playable.
Yeah, no bat wings.
No bat wings.
But she's a good guy, so you need a bad guy.
Or you need
the bad guy.
Well, see, Amy. God, I can't believe we're having this conversation. Amy is kind of the antithesis of Knuckles, who's like gruff and harsh, and she's bubbly.
Yeah, but they're on the same team already.
Well, Knuckles kind of has like odd allegiances, especially in early Sonic.
So maybe they should have made Knuckles on the bad guys team for here and put Amy on the Knuckles. All right.
I think you're onto something.
All right, here we go. We just changed the world.
We're going to remake this game.
Yeah, we got this.
But we're going to cut those levels entirely so it's only the good stuff left and it's 2 hours long.
Yeah, because making games are easy.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to put this game?
I could not even guess.
Higher or lower than Super Monkey Ball?
1B. No, where do you feel like putting this one? I haven't played it. I can just tell you it looks really, really slick.
You know, I kind of feel like in the 5 or 6 range is appropriate for this game.
Put above Monkey Ball.
I know it's not set in stone, so I'll just stick it at number 6 for now. I know we have our reservations
about
Luigi's.
I'm going to go chisel it into my stone when I go home tonight.
You have a chisel?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
How do you not have a chisel?
Do you use it to build your little models?
Yeah.
So, let's
go. Why do you hurt me, John? You told me you loved me, and now...
No, I think your little models are great.
I like how he's toned it down, because it used to be little models.
All right, let's move over to... Oh, this is an interesting one, you guys. NBA Street.
Mm-hmm.
This one was developed by a studio called NewFX and EA Canada, published by EA, of course. It is a 3-on-3 arcade basketball game that uses NBA players and NBA licenses. It has a really bombastic play style, reminiscent of some like NBA Jam.
Bombastic. That's not used enough.
Mm-hmm.
We've used it twice already.
Have we?
Me and you, just now.
Yeah.
You jump really high, do these really ornate dunks. There's no fouls. You can goaltend. A lot of the goals of the game is to do like these trick maneuvers. You have a bunch of different turbo buttons, and each of them, when you're on offense, it will do a different like dribbling maneuver. When you're on defense, you can do things like steal the ball. And doing these sort of maneuvers will build up a meter. When you get that meter high enough, you're basically on fire, like an NBA Jam. Your shots are guaranteed to go in. This one pretty well reviewed on all platforms. It did release on all other platforms. It released on PS2 the earliest. And weirdly enough, this one is going to end up in the top 20 best-selling console games of the generation. At 5.5 million. Ends up in the top 20. Which, you know, isn't a huge number by modern standards at all. But
yeah,
you know, still really good that it moved to 5 million units for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have... too much else to say about this one. You guys got any thoughts on NBA Street? You ever played an NBA Street game?
I played NBA Jam a bunch back in the day, but I never played NBA Street.
No. NBA Jam was the jam.
Word.
Mm-hmm. You're...
I think NBA Street does become a bit of a franchise. Volume 2 is generally better regarded than Volume 1. Doesn't sell as well, though. And I think it does go up to Volume 3. But then after that... we don't see another like street basketball style game from EA until like bring back NBA Jam on the Wii, weirdly enough. And I think it was Street Volume 2 where Mario, Luigi, and Peach are playable on the GameCube version, which is funny.
That's great. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's fun that they have these kind of arcadey versions. Probably like what NFL Blitz is like, you know, where it's just emphasizing the action. I mean, there's no attempt to make this be like actual basketball.
Right.
It's a totally different game entirely, you know, with like you're saying, where there's goaltendings allowed. And like, I remember when I played NBA Jam, I would use all of my like special bar on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go in there and I would just push the guys over and over again, steal the ball, end up with a score of, you know, like,
throw him to the ground, 90 start stomping on his head.
yeah, like that's kind of the way to play. And I'm sure that it's also probably a lot of fun to have the licensed NBA players of that time.
Yeah, for sure.
On the different teams.
Is there a Bill Clinton mode, though?
As far as I know, I couldn't find any information if like there were codes to put in for all these like unlockable characters like you've got having NBA Jam. One thing this does have over NBA Jam is you do get Michael Jordan.
Nice.
In the game.
All right.
And you're able to start with that character. And there's like a campaign mode in addition to just be able to like play against people in multiplayer. there's like a campaign mode where, you know, you play through all, you pick your team and you play through all of the other 28 NBA teams at the time. How many NBA teams are there now?
30.
Okay.
I think there's always been 30.
There's 29 in this game.
Oh, I know, you're right. There was an expansion that they did. I don't want to say, what was the Magic and...
Who are the most recent expansion? Like, the Grizzlies and the Raptors were after the Magic, weren't they?
No, it was the Magic and the Raptors.
Oh, at the same time?
I think we were... Yeah, we both had our debut at the same time, and I want to say it was 89.
Okay. But then, like, the Grizzlies were expanded into Vancouver after that.
Were they?
I think so.
Maybe they were the expansion team. I could have sworn that the Raptors came in the same time the Magic did.
Maybe.
But I could still be wrong about that. I mean, it's
But anyway, what you do in this, you play through all the other teams, the NBA teams, in this campaign mode. And when you beat a team, you can draft one of the opposing players onto your team and just have like this bench of all-stars, if you feel like it. But yeah. What do you guys think? What do you guys want to put NBA Street Volume 1? Any opinions on this? It's our first sports game that'll go on the list, unless you count things like snowboarding.
Monkey ball's a sport.
Monkey ball? Okay.
They had to put a live monkey in a ball and roll it down somewhere.
What do you think? Do we put this game above or below monkey ball as a sport?
I like how we're using monkey ball as in general. Is this game good or bad?
It's kind of in the middle right now.
Yeah, it's
like, I don't think Wave Race is a bad game. I just don't think it's like as replayable as some other stuff.
Also sold very well. I think that's impressive.
Yeah, I think that counts for something. It reviewed pretty well.
Yeah, I would say put it above monkey ball.
Okay, works for me. But not as high as Sonic Advance?
Nah.
Cool, lock it in. Those are the GameCube games that I got on tap. You guys have any like any PC games or anything?
I got two games to bring up.
Cool. What you got?
First one is State of Emergency. So State of Emergency is a really cheap, shitty cash-in.
Good.
It was made by the same studio, Rockstar, that made Grand Theft Auto 3. Obviously a big success. And I'm sure they were like, have we made any mini games that maybe we could just pretend is a full game and sell it? And that's kind of what this is. It actually sold about a million copies, so it achieved its objective. It looks very much like a zoomed-in Grand Theft Auto 3. The premise being that you're trapped in a mall, and you've got to, like, do some shit in the mall. Think of the game Bouncer. It's kind of like the gameplay.
I'm never not thinking of the game Bouncer.
It's kind of like Bouncer. And also, it reminds... And given it's also got that Dynasty Warrior style of, like, you versus, like, 20 mode, or kind of combat, there was a... Oh, gosh, what was it called? There was a zombie game series that was really popular maybe 10 years ago. Where you're trapped in a mall.
Not Left 4 Dead.
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising. That's the one.
Very prophetic of a franchise, Dead Rising. So I feel like I'm comparing it to games that are at least silly and fun. This one looks kind of stupid. Like, Bouncer is so bad it's good, kind of. And Dead Rising is, in and of itself, is actually a pretty fun game, as I recall playing. But yeah, State of Emergency is it's pretty meh. It's like, yeah, I think that they were really just like, how successful is Rockstar? Can they just literally print anything or make anything and it's going to make money? And I think this proves that not really. They sold this. I'm sure they made their money on this.
At least not in 2002.
But yeah, not another one that's going to sell 10 million copies or anything like that. It's just another junk game that they put out there. Also, on PC, Serious Sam, the second encounter. Serious Sam is kind of thought of as sort of like a... You shouldn't think of this as like the RC Cola of the first-person shooters. This is like the Pepsi Cola. This one's actually still really, really good. I think that it's very much inspired by Duke Nukem and that it's got that kind of irreverent macho snark to it. But super tight gameplay. Really, really fun. Tons of, like, the thing that I liked about this one is that it was a lot of big open arenas that you were fighting in. These weren't, like, narrow corridor shooter kind of things. These were just, like, giant, open, ridiculous fights. So, Serious Sam 2, a pretty good game, and if anybody cared about the golden age of PC shooters, this is one of the ones that's, again, worth checking out. A lot of good titles from this time frame, and this one's maybe a little under the radar, but still a good one.
Cool.
And that's all I got.
We do have a handful of GBA games worth bringing up. First, I got on the list is another Sonic game. It's Sonic Advance. And this was the first wholly original Sonic game that released on a Nintendo platform. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle is, of course, a Dreamcast game first. This one was developed by a new studio called Dimps and Sonic Team. And Dimps is like a weirdly busy studio. They make mostly licensed shit and support development.
I don't know. It just sounds like a bad name for like a strip club for some reason. Like, hey, we should go to Dimps and check out. Like, that doesn't sound good. Like, no, that's ugh.
Yeah, check out the Dimps on that one.
Ugh. Like, ugh. That Wes, like... noted purveyor of strip clubs.
he's got a ranking system.
I've been to one.
Yeah. And he just played D&D there. So
in the middle of the strip. Oh, that would be hilarious. Oh my god.
Let's do a charisma check.
So they Dimps made a few more Sonic games on handhelds. They worked on Street Fighter and Soul Calibur games, weirdly enough. Sega published
practically Sonic. The same as Sonic.
Right.
Soul Calibur. It's
the same type of game. Sega published Sonic Advance in Japan and in Europe. THQ published in North America. Not the last time we're going to say that. Weird. Six zones, a couple acts per zone. Typical of a 2D Sonic game. This is a 2D pixel art Sonic game in the vein of Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, etc. Those games are divided up into zones that have some like environmental theme and kind of split up sometimes into like acts, usually two, sometimes as many as three. This one, six total zones with a couple acts in each, so you basically get like 12 levels that'll take you a couple minutes to get through. There are four playable characters with different skills, yeah, including Sonic the Hedgehog, Tails, Knuckles, and Amy are also both playable.
Wow, they're really branching out with some new stuff.
I know, right? Yeah, the core four are here. And as far as like the different things with Tails flies, of course, Sonic has like a little like slide dash that he can do. Amy can swing a hammer and use that to like propel herself up for a higher jump. Knuckles can glide and climb on walls.
See, it's weird that Knuckles can glide. That sounds odd to me. He's just a dude with two big fists. Like, right. Are his fists aerodynamic? I don't know.
I don't know the logic behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a fox with two tails, and hedgehogs are notoriously not fast. So,
Has Amy been a playable character before this one?
Yes, in Sonic Adventure. She's a playable character.
Man, you know a lot about Sonic.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot about a franchise I don't particularly like. It's a pretty nice-looking game. Got a nice, nice pixel art. There are these special stages, like in most Sonic games, there are special stages that when you complete them successfully, they'll give you a Chaos Emerald.
And you have like 90 seconds to collect all the Rhino tokens and
these something like
Ostrich tokens.
And
Swordfish ones as well.
that'd be a better game. What they typically do, what they have typically done in 2D Sonic games with a couple of exceptions, is they put you on this, like a half pipe, and you're running straight forward. You can't stop your momentum, and you just kind of have to maneuver around and collect the rings, and they'll give you like a par. There's how many rings you got to get in order to proceed to the next part of the stage. And in this one, it's very similar. It looks annoying in this one because the depth perception on the system isn't particularly good, so it looks very easy to miss rings that are coming your way. Also, they'll have like springs in these special stages that will intentionally, like, you try to line yourself up with where the rings are going to be next, and it'll intentionally bounce you away and make you miss it. And they don't give you a whole lot of opportunities to enter these special stages. You pretty much have to just find these seven entrances in all of the stages. There's, like, seven stages in the game that have an entrance in them, and there's no other opportunities. So if you miss one, then you just don't get the Chaos Emerald in that particular run through. And I think it does track who you've beaten the stage with. So if you're like going for completion, it'll show you like, oh, you've beaten the stage as Knuckles and Amy, but now if you want to go for the completion, you got to beat it as the other two. So, you know, that, I think it's a way of trying to like pad the longevity in this game. Not a particularly long game. It'll only take a couple hours to get through if you're playing through as one character. So this, like we were talking about Sonic levels when we were talking about Adventure, it's seems to be very much built to stop your momentum, because otherwise you're zipping through these stages in 30, 45 seconds. So they need to slow you down or give you an excuse to like look around, because there are like multiple ways to work through a stage, like in typical 2D Sonic fashion. You can take the high route, you can take the low route, there's a middle route, and you kind of flip and flop between the three of them at different opportunities. But rather than just like building fun stages to get through, they're constantly trying to find ways to like put an enemy right in your path, or if you make a mistimed jump, you'll plummet into a never-ending pit and die. So it's one of the major flaws in Sonic games is they have to find ways to slow you down just so that you kind of get your money's worth out of what you purchased. But yeah, that's Sonic. There are going to be a bunch of these Sonic Advance games. I think like three, maybe four on the GBA, and then it continues in one when we get to the DS with Sonic Rush. But speaking of platformers, how about we talk about a good one? Super Mario World, Super Mario Advance 2 came out on the GBA. This one was, of course, published by Nintendo. There are some major differences, in sort of like fanboy way, differences from the Super Nintendo version. But I guess generally positive on Super Mario World?
It is a wonderful game, yeah.
Indeed.
One of my favorite games ever.
Yep. Very replayable. Got
I like that we're further now from the GBA version than the GBA version was from the original release.
It's true. Original release is in 91. So 11 years later, it gets the GBA version, and now we're talking about that 21 years after. But yeah, 2D platforming at its finest. I don't know that they've ever made a 2D Mario platformer better than this one.
Yeah. There's so much they do with it that makes it so fun and inviting to play and then replay the levels. You know, it's the big map. You love finding new secrets that are all hidden in very clever ways.
Mm-hmm.
Give you lots of different methods of exploring your environments, different ways to beat the game. You know, just kind of choose. You can be a completionist and, you know, kind of go wherever you want, or you could, you know, so you choose your own adventure, take your different path, go wherever you want.
Try to get to Star Road and try to beat the game as quick as possible.
Yeah, and Star Road had some very just clever things that, you know, only a game this refined can let you have the puzzles that it has, like, with all of the different mechanics and how they play together with each other. The Reznors, those little lava guys, it's all great. The music is fucking, it's so good. It's really well animated. Yeah, this is it's a near perfect game. Like, I don't know if you can make a complaint about the thing.
I think one of the things that they've really missed out on when it comes to the more modern 2D Marios of the new Super Mario Brothers series, which I like. I think all those games are really, really good. The thing that they sort of missed out is that the fun of the 2D Mario platformers like Mario World was the different ways you can leave the levels and the different ways that the map unfolded. Not just like going through levels point A to point B and then moving on to the next one in a very linear fashion. It was just how you felt like you were making an impact on the map by choosing to go different ways or entering back into levels and trying to play it a different way. And just like the switch blocks and the different power-ups you can get through. You try to fly through the level or try to get through with Yoshi.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like an RPG when you choose to accept some side quests.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you don't have to complete these, but you could if you wanted.
Yeah. So as far as differences in the GBA version, the aspect ratio is slightly different on the GBA screen, so you get a little bit more of the real estate of the screen. You can see a little bit further in front and behind you. You can play through the game as Luigi solo if you want. And he's got his Luigi skills. He's not just a palette swap. So he doesn't have the same traction as Mario, but he jumps higher and flutters in the air, so he descends slower. There's also a sort of like three-tier hit system to the power-ups. So if you remember from Mario 3, if you have the Raccoon Suit and you get hit by an enemy, you'll revert to Big Mario. And then if you hit again, you'll revert to Little Mario. In Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo, it was just, if you have a cape and you get hit, you will then revert to Small Mario. And then they'll have like the item up top. If you have a spare item, it'll drop down for you. So you can try to get another power up that way. In the GBA version, it actually reverts back to like the Mario 3 method of if you have a fire flower and you get hit, you go become big Mario, and then if you get hit again, you become small, and then the item will drop down for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that it's considered a bit easier than the Super Nintendo version, because you do get that extra hit. Also added some voice clips to the levels, voiced by Mr. Charles Martinet. I think we talked about that a little bit when we talked about the remake of Super Mario 2. He'll grab a power-up and Mario will say something. He'll get excited that he got a mushroom.
You said Charles and then you went Martinet, and for some reason Charles Barkley popped in my head.
That Charles Barkley voices Mario.
Yeah.
God, I would play the shit out of that game.
That'd be amazing.
Well, did you ever play Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden by any chance?
No, I haven't played that.
The RPG. It's like a fan-made RPG.
I heard about this.
Oh, it's delightful. Yeah, because there's the Shut Up and Jam. Yeah, it's like the main game, and then just like the RPG. It's like a really traditional JRPG. It's pretty funny.
I saw a clip where Charles, like, I guess James Harden recently passed Charles Barkley for all time scoring, and Charles Barkley was just real sad about it for a couple minutes. Yeah. He was heartbroken that he's now like number 27 all time in scoring in the 100-year history of basketball.
Yeah.
However long as they've had an NBA.
It's funny, too, because they're both, like, deceptively large, because they're not tall, but they're just, like, big. They're, you know, like, how they say big-boned, but it's, like, a euphemism? They're, like, literally big-boned. They're just, like, very wide people, you know? So I can see why he would be particularly upset that this other short, fat person is stealing all of his records. Do you ever go back and watch any of his clips, like any of his time when he was at the Sixers or the Suns?
No.
He was a fucking menace. The dude was a bowling ball.
Good.
Go watch some highlights of this guy. He's like not even tall. He's like 6'5", I think. You would think this
what
guy
a
was
a short
like,
guy. What a tiny little pipsqueak.
I mean, compared to the guys he's taken on, like, again, he's playing like power forward or small forward position. Like your average power forward nowadays is like 6'9" to 7 feet. Like, they're all super fucking tall. Like, guards are like 6'4" now, you know? He's just not a very tall person, but he's just a very thick dude. So it's really funny when he gets out there like a sumo wrestler. And just, but like the most athletic sumo wrestler you've ever seen in your life. You gotta see the guy in action. It's so great.
And he's playable in Super Mario World.
Such a good game.
Let's see. There's a status screen. If you're on the world map, you can see how many exits you found, how many dragon coins that you found in each stage. It's something that they don't do in the Super Nintendo version. Like, in the Super Nintendo version, you can go through the game and try to collect all the dragon coins in each level, and when you do, they'll disappear from the level, so you can...
They're Yoshi coins.
They call dragon coins? Yeah, they call them dragon coins.
Is Yoshi a dragon?
He's a dinosaur. He's from Dinosaur Island.
Exactly.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the difference when we get to Reign of Fire.
Between dinosaurs and dragons.
But the...
these were dinosaur dragons.
Yeah. So it'll give you like a way to track progress if you're interested in knowing if you collected all these dragon coins or not. It'll also tell you if you've beaten the levels of Mario and Luigi, if you found all the exits, etc. So if you're going for that 100%, You know the last level that where you didn't find the secret exit, you can look it up. Star Road, we talked about Star Roads in the game. When you do all of the Star Road levels, you unlock the special stages, and the special stages are the extra challenges.
They're brutal.
Yeah, when you beat all of those in the GBA version, it will just allow you to warp to any level you want at any time. Kind of a strange reward, but
they create an account for you on a dating site. It's really weird.
here's one that's like really cool. Any color Yoshi can appear in the regular levels. You might hit a Yoshi block and it's a red Yoshi this time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great, because you know you just like reset the level to get the blue one and play with that for the entire game.
Fair enough.
But yeah, what a great game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool version of this game. Great that they have it on a portable system.
A lot of quality of life additions to this one, it seems like.
Yeah. Let's see, just a couple other games to mention real quick before we move on. Puyo Pop, Came out on the GBA. This one, another one. It's a Sega game developed by Sonic Team, published by Sega, published by THQ in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Strange. This game might be a game that people recognize as a falling block match four puzzle game. They'll fall in pairs of two, like in Dr. Mario, and you got to match up four colors. As long as like the colors are touching, it doesn't have to be like in a line or in a column. It can just be like in an L shape. And what you're doing is as they drop, if you eliminate some blocks and it causes other blocks to cascade down and match up with four, it'll create chains. And like, you know, like in Tetris, if you're creating the combos, it'll send them off to the other screen to fuck up your opponent. So just kind of Sega's take on Tetris, a bit more derivative than something like Dr. Mario. But we don't have Dr. Mario in the GBA yet. It has a single player campaign. Also, you can do multiplayer with the link cables. You can do a single card download if you're using the link cable, which is pretty cool. And then Crash Bandicoot The Huge Adventure came out on the GBA. I got nothing to say about that one.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
So,
well, who developed it, at least?
Oh, Vicarious Visions.
And who published it?
Ooh, I think it was Universal.
That is correct. I'm reading your notes here.
Yeah, because there was a time where, like, for some reason, Crash Bandicoot was closely associated with Universal Studios. I don't know if they like owned the property or just like did like the marketing or something for it, because there was actually like a costume character at Universal Studios Orlando of Crash Bandicoot. And we'd walk around and you'd take pictures of the shit.
Tell me you still just had that costume somewhere, like no, box. No,
it does not exist anymore.
Oh, after it killed all those children.
Yeah, not since the incident. We just call that the incident. But it was a funny one, though, because, like, it wasn't a costume character like you would think of, like a different costume character where it was just the head goes over the person's face and it is just what it looks like. The face was actually cut out. Like, the mouth of Crash Bandicoot was open or, like, above the person's face, and you could actually see the human face. And it would, like, talk. Because, there was, like, this, like, Crash Bandicoot had marketing campaigns where it would wear this costume and go around and talk to people about Crash Bandicoot
games. Did it have, like, a screen over the face? Or literally it was just, like, here's the face in its mouth?
No, the conceit of the costume was just... Oh, there's
John. I could see him right through it.
The conceit of the costume was it's a guy wearing a Bandicoot suit. It wasn't, like, Crash Bandicoot, but Crash Bandicoot, the costume was a dude wearing a costume. There were commercials where like this guy would go up to like Nintendo headquarters and with a bullhorn and like scream at them about how Mario sucked and Crash Bandicoot was awesome.
Yes, I do remember.
I gotta see this commercial.
He did like marketing for like Pizza Hut with like stuffed crust pizza and shit. Yeah, it was wild.
All right.
So that's Crash Bandicoot: The Huge Adventure.
Wow.
Any other games that we need to address before we move on here?
That's all I got.
All right, why don't we take a break and come back with some music?
Sounds good to me.
Very good.